Amen. Yes. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Sunrise Band. I was remiss last week when my first week back. I didn't thank those who stood in the gap while I was gone. So I wanted to thank Mr. Marty Phillips. I know he's not here, but I heard he did an excellent job. And our own Jason Schumer, who filled in, and I also heard did an excellent job because I listened to it myself. Online, so yes, but I want to thank all those who stood in while I was away. Today I want to look at the book of Luke. You can turn to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. The book of Luke in the 18th chapter. I'm going to read pretty much the chapter, but don't be alarmed, it's only 8 verses long, so. Won't be reading too much. But the book of Luke 18, and it reads as thus. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what happened, what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Father God, we are thankful one more time to be able to come into the house of the Lord and receive a message from you. We ask now that you just prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word, exactly what it is you have for each and every one of us, and how you want us to receive that message. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, boo. I know somebody's always got my back. It's that one. It's that one right there. It was funny that Stephanie asked me if I enjoyed my vacation, and I said yes. And maybe by the way I said it, she was like, are you sure? But yes, I love my babies. Love my babies. If I had to have a title for today's message, I had two, actually. The one was prepare with a purpose. Prepare with a purpose. The other one was also believe in your blessing. Believe in your blessing. See, a lot of times in life, we say this thing, they always say, fake it till you make it, right? And now they say, fake it till you make it. It's kind of this idea that, you know, be the part, be the person who you're striving to become. I don't like that term, though. You know, it implies that you're deceiving people, that you're not truly that thing. And in my belief, you know, God has a purpose for me, a very specific thing that God wants from me out of my life, things he wants me to do, the talents that he's already given me at birth, that he's trying to grow and bring out of me. So I'm not faking it. I'm trying to grow it. I'm trying to learn it. I'm trying to discern. And that's what we're all trying to do. We're all in the position of bringing the best out of ourselves, those things that God has put inside of us, and bringing them out. And that doesn't stop. You may think, well, I've done all I'm going to do, Pastor. I've discovered all my talents. I've done them to the best that I can. But that's not true. Because if that was true, you wouldn't be here anymore. So there's still more that God is pulling out of each and every one of us. And so we have to be ready and willing and able to do what it is that God is asking of us. And to do that, sometimes it takes a persistence, right? A perseverance. There's this idea, there was a study done, and maybe you've heard of it before, but they did a study on mathematics with kids. And it's this idea they did. They took kids from Japan, and they took kids from America. And they wanted to see about their standardized math test abilities. So going into the test, they had the notion that the Japanese kids always did better on tests than American kids in math. And so they were trying to figure out why this was. Most of the time, they thought initially that it was an intellectual thing. And they, these kids are just better with numbers, better at math. But what they discovered as they gave a different test, they gave them all a puzzle. It had nothing to do with math. They gave them all puzzles. And through the puzzles, they wanted to see how long it would take for them to solve the puzzles. Well, it turned out none of the kids could actually solve the puzzle. But what they did find is how long the students would at least try to figure it out. And what they discovered is that the average American child took 9.47 minutes on the puzzle until they just kind of gave up. And the Japanese kids took 13.93 minutes on the puzzle until they gave up. And so what they concluded is that perhaps on these tests, it wasn't so much that it was an intellectual quotient, but more to do with the persistence of the students. And in our own lives, we have to look at that as well. How much more are we willing to put in to our efforts and what we're trying to do, what we think God is doing with us and through us? Are we staying the course? Or are we just kind of giving up on ourselves, saying, oh, well, I'm done. God has nothing else for me. Let me just sit back and go through the day-to-day of my life. But there's a reward to that persistence. And so I want to look at three things of how we are preparing for God's purpose in our lives and how we need to better believe in what God is blessing us with. And the first is our persistence. And the second is our prayers. And finally, the protocol. See, in our persistence, they say that success is a direct derivative of our persistence. You can't fail unless you quit. As long as you're trying, then you're working towards something. Whatever that thing is, whatever the goal you feel you have. As long as you're in there and you're trying to do it, you have the belief that you're working towards it, then God can work with you in trying to achieve it. See, this is the foundation of faith, right? We work towards something even though we don't see it, even though we don't have it, but we have the faith and the belief that God is working with us to fulfill it. James says, faith without works is dead. So even though we can believe it, we have to do something to achieve it. We have to want it, and we have to show that we want it. A few decades ago, in Berlin, they did a study of the Academy of Music, And they took their students, all of them violinists. It was very hard to get into the school, and they accepted them at 6 years old. And they studied all these kids that they came in, and they wanted to gauge what differentiated the best ones from the good ones from the average. And so they watched the kids, they monitored them, and they saw that they all kind of had the same tendencies. They all practiced, they all put in the work, they all studied. But they noticed when they reached 8 years old, something began to change. Where the average kids kept doing the same things. But they saw that the good kids started putting in more hours, a little more work towards the craft. And then later on, as they hit teenage years, they noticed that another separation took place. And those who stood out and became the excellent ones put in even more hours than the others. So they saw a direct correlation to the hours that these students put in, how much work they put in towards their craft, playing the violin, and how that translated to their success. Now, maybe we're not violinists, maybe we're not great artists or musicians, but what about our prayer life? What about our relationship with Christ? I mean, that's what I'm concerned about. How are we looking to Christ for our life's answers? How much are we leaning on the Lord when we're trying to decipher things, making decisions, thinking about how we're going to treat others? Are we putting in the time? Are we getting more and more closer to God in our day-to-day? Or is it kind of just the same old saying? See, this is the challenge of the woman in the parable. God is looking at her, and he's using her as an example of how life can look at you and just say, what are you going to do? No, you can't have what you want. And do we just take that as the answer and move on? Or do we feel that conviction that God places in our heart, that desire that God puts in our place? And do we reach more to find what he's saying? Do we push and not say, okay, that's fine? But do we push in and say, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're saying? What is it that you want from me in my life? Or are we just kind of average about it? See, the woman didn't take no for an answer. The judge said, no, I'm not going to take care of your situation. I'm not going to find justice for your cause. But she didn't take that as a sufficient answer. She kept coming back again and again. And maybe we've lost some of that. I remember when we were young, right? You'd go to your parents and you wanted something and they'd say no. But we didn't take that as the answer. We would maybe go to mom if dad said no. We'd figure out something else. Oh, I know Ava has a great way of manipulating every possible outcome so she can get her snacks. But somehow in life something happens and we lose that fortitude. We lose that pressing in. We just kind of give up on things. We say, oh, well, if it's not going to work out, that's fine. And maybe sometimes that's okay, but when it comes to our relationship with God, we can't give in. We can't accept our own no's. We can't accept the world's no. We have to continue to pray, to persevere, to look to what God is doing. And praying hard is a situation of not just asking again and again, but it's also about showing God that you're serious about your prayer. See, I can pray, oh, Lord, you know, I don't want to eat popcorn anymore. I don't know what it might be. Popcorn is just no good for me. It's killing my teeth, Lord. My Dentist bill is going too high. But if I continue to buy popcorn and continue to let it sit on the shelf, continue to go in the grocery store on the aisle where the popcorn is, then I'm not showing that I'm serious about the issue. We need to show God that we're serious about the things that we're praying to Him for. Be the living example of our words. Don't just say it, but show it. There's a story about the donkey in the well. Maybe you've heard it before, but it was a farmer and he had this stubborn old donkey. Donkeys tend to be that way. But it really upset the farmer. This one particular donkey was just so stubborn. And so one day he came out and he heard the donkey screaming. Ree-haw, ree-haw, ree-haw. I don't know if that was a good donkey, but that's what I got. But he heard the donkey screaming and he ran out into the field and the donkey had fallen into the well. He was down in the well and he couldn't get out. And so the farmer's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, well, you know, I could put in a lot of work to get this donkey out, or I could just bury him down there. And I'd be done with him. So he called some of his buddies over and they started throwing in dirt in the well. And the poor donkey's down there, yaw, yaw, screaming out. And they just kept shoveling in the dirt. And then they noticed he stopped screaming. They thought, oh, okay, good, this is working. They kept shoveling, kept shoveling. And then one of the guys looked in and he said, this isn't working. He said, what do you mean? And they looked down and the donkey had been dodging all the dirt coming in. And as they threw it down, more and more packed, he just stepped on the dirt. And he got closer, higher and higher, until they were right there and the donkey was ready to jump out the well. Well, the farmer was upset, but then he said, you know what? Maybe this stubborn donkey isn't so dumb. I can use him for something after all. And that's kind of how we are. We find ourselves down in a well. And it seems like life is just throwing dirt on us. More and more dirt. And here we are praying out to God, Lord, help me out of my situation. Help me to get out of this predicament. But if we just sit there and let the dirt hit us, we're not really showing God that we are serious about that prayer. But if we use that dirt to rise above, and get closer and closer to that purpose that God has placed in our life, then God will say, well done, good and faithful servant, and bless us with even more. So we can't just be about prayer. Prayer works. Prayer is definitely our way of communicating to God. But He is watching us. He knows our heart, and He sees what we're doing. We need to show Him that we're serious about the things that we want from Him. And finally, we have to have some protocol. Now, protocol, when I say that, you usually think, oh, well, I have to do what I know I'm supposed to do. Yes, exactly. But there comes a time where the protocol of the world needs to be broken, where we can't just do what's already been done. For the things that everyone else has done isn't going to work in our situation. See, the woman went to the judge, but she did more than just go to the judge. Because the judge says, I better do what she says, or she may come and attack me one day. I guess he could have taken a restraining order out on her, had her arrested. But see, she didn't listen to the protocol. She wasn't worried about the consequences of the judge and the system, because she knew that she had an adversary who needed to be defeated. And whether you know it or not, you have an adversary who needs to be defeated. And if you just go by the ways of the world and expect those same old ways to work to defeat the issues that you're dealing with when they're clearly not being met, then you're going to be hitting the same nose again and again, wondering why the same old things keep happening. There comes a time you have to break the protocol. You have to do what when others won't do, you have to be willing to do. You have to be willing to step out in the name of your faith and stand for the things that you know are right, that are wrong in your life, and tell the situations that are there, that are standing in your way, I'm sorry, but I can't deal with you anymore. You have to get out. It may be the ways that we were always used to. It might be the routine, but the routine has to be broken because my life has to be saved. I'm looking for a change. And the only way that change is going to happen is if I stop doing the same things I've always been doing. See, if God loved protocol, if he loved the ways of routine, then he would have just taken the Pharisees. He would have just said, well, look what the Pharisees do. That's who I love. Look at the Sanhedrin Council. Those are my children. But that's not what he did he? See, Jesus honors those who are willing to break the protocol. Just like he honored the prostitute who crashed the party at the Pharisee's home and got down on her knees and anointed the feet of Jesus. When she wasn't supposed to be there, she said, I don't care what they think about me. I know I'm going to be at the feet of my Savior and show him my love. Jesus honored the tax collector who climbed up the tree in all of his good clothes, not caring what people thought. His reputation maybe was going to be ruined, but he climbed that tree so he could get a look at the Savior that he needed and to have in his life. Jesus honored the four friends who were willing to cut a hole in the roof of the house, not wait in line for all the others outside, but they climbed up on the roof and cut a hole in so they could get their friend down to be healed by Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to go out of your way, cut in the line if necessary, to get to your salvation? Jesus honored this woman, even though the judge was not having it. Eventually, her persistence, her perseverance, led to her salvation. See, the common denominator in each of these stories is there's a holy desperation that we have to have. If we really want it, we're praying for it. We need to show it. And we don't need to care what anybody else thinks. We don't care what the world's going to say. There's one God that I have to answer to, and that's who I care about. So are we prepared to receive our blessing today? Are we ready? Do we believe, do we really believe that God is going to deliver on his promises? If so, then be ready to persevere. Forget the protocol. Get on your prayers and show Jesus that you know that he's going to answer. Amen? As the band comes forward, whatever the situation is, there's something in your mind right now that you know you've been praying about, that you know you're struggling with. We need to raise it up. We need to raise a hallelujah to it. But in raising that hallelujah, we need to show him that it's already done. That God, I'm not going to fake it till I make it, but I'm going to believe for my blessing. And I'm going to show it. I'm going to shout it to the rooftops. I'm going to raise a hallelujah that you are answering all my prayers. If there is a one, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I invite you now to receive him as your Lord. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion. Set up your roots. Begin your journey. Salvation is our Lord and Savior. Is there one?